This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I look at it a little bit differently than Nathan. If they take Shedeur Sanders, Shedeur Sanders is starting week one. If they take someone like Milroe, then it's a competition between Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. If they take someone like Dart, it's a little bit of a different story as well. That one might be a three-way competition.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right way to forecast it. It feels like even if they take Shedeur, that they would present it as... They'd spend the entire offseason presenting it as a competition.
I agree with that.
And it'll be like, oh yeah, we're going to just see... We're not going to rush him. We're going to see what he does and whatever. And then by the end of training camp, it feels like they'd be like, yeah, we're going to put Shedeur out there and give it a shot, right?
Because it feels very much like what the Browns would do.
Yeah, because if you draft somebody number two overall, you're anticipating they're going to play sooner rather than later. And that's the thing that's different. Like, there are still some people out there that are stuck in this mentality of like the Packers mentality, I guess.
Yeah.
Where they've gotten away with drafting the succession plan to the quarterback that's already sort of there and letting that guy sit for like 2 years before he takes over. And they've obviously seen that with Jordan Love now, who's the starting quarterback there. But like, that's not how this works anymore. Like, look back to even just last year's class, right? Every quarterback that was drafted in the first round last year, other than JJ McCarthy, because he was hurt, played at some point last year. Like, you don't have to wait as long to play these guys. So I would imagine you're right. Like, it would be pitched as open competition, Shedeur, Flacco, Pickett, with the intention that probably they start Sanders week one and they're kind of, you know, just off and running that way.
The annoying part of that conversation will be the amount of people that throw Patrick Mahomes in our face. And I think what we would have to remind people, even though Mahomes did rest for an entire season and then got his opportunity, was that one, Patrick Mahomes still would have been as great if he had started right away than if he started in technically year two of his career. But also the Chiefs were ready to win right then. Like, they were built. Yeah. They had a team that was a double-digit win team that Patrick Mahomes ended up inheriting, but they had Alex Smith. They had a lot of answers. The Browns don't have answers.
No.
Well, the Browns are not in the driver's seat. You are in a spot where I just believe you have to start these guys as early as you can. Let them work out some of the problems and some of the kinks. Find out what you have, and then get going.
Well, and you mentioned, like, some of the other quarterbacks that they could theoretically take and what that would kind of look like in terms of an open competition. I agree on Milroe. I think Milroe is so much of a project that it's like you'd have to let him sit behind one of these guys and sort of learn the ropes, and then maybe by the end of the season he's starting.
He's not a day one quarterback.
I agree.
Everyone told him he should have returned for another season at Alabama. I don't know why he didn't take that advice. Especially going in for next year's class. I think he just looked at this year's class, thought it was weaker, thought maybe his draft stock would be higher. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Actually, we talked to an Alabama guy the other day, and he kind of framed it as if Alabama was just tired of Milroe. As if
they pushed him out.
Yeah, as if they almost pushed him out. As if like the fans and Milroe had both kind of had enough of each other.
Well, that's why the transfer portal is a thing, man. You could have just gone somewhere else.
Could have done the Jalen Hurts and just gone to Oklahoma, won a Heisman.
It worked out for Jalen Hurts.
That's right.
And that's funny because like the Jalen Hurts comparison to Jalen Milroe is like I've made that one before, but the difference is I felt like Hurts was a more refined passer even coming out of college. Even though people still question him as a passer, he was clearly a more refined passer than what Milroe was at this point in his career. So I just think there's too much there. I think Jackson Dart falls into a similar bucket where it's like probably some kinks to work out, some things that he has to sort of learn before he starts. Another interesting one, though, is somebody like Tyler Shuck. Tyler Shuck, to me, because he's older, he's 25 coming into the league, it's a Brandon Whedon situation, right? Like, he can't afford to sit and wait for too long. Like, that's the type of quarterback you got to put out there and see what he can do pretty quickly. So that's another one where it's like maybe he would start the season on the bench, but he'd quickly sort of get the job at some point because you just got to see what you have, especially if you're trying to figure out, like, can this guy be the guy of the future Or do we have to draft another quarterback next year? Because Shuck kind of falls in the bucket of it's a project or an experiment rather than like, this is our guy, at least from my perspective.
If it's not Shador, I hate them taking a quarterback this class. I do. I don't love the developmental side of things with any of these quarterbacks. I don't love the idea that you could look at someone like Shador Sanders and see how talented he is and be like, that can't be our franchise quarterback. But these quarterbacks that are behind him, they clearly can. I just think that it's fraught with so many problems to me, yeah. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. And as I've said multiple times now on this show, Spencer, and I really do believe it, if you're going to stink next year, like, there's no point of being a 6 or 7 win team. You take yourself out of, if you don't take a quarterback, a real quarterback, you don't take a quarterback, there's no point of winning 7 or 8 games next year. You got to win 2, 3, 4 games somewhere in that realm and then put yourself in the driver's seat for next year's class. Because if you win 7, 8, 9 games, 6, 7, 8, 9 games, whatever it is, you take yourself out of a good draft selection.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're willing to obviously throw a bunch of draft capital at trading up, which maybe if the Browns trade back from 2, you'd get enough to like put yourself in position to do that again next year.
There also has to be people that are willing to go ahead and take that trade up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You are relying then on part of the draft that is out of your control. Like, if you have 2 thirsty quarterback teams at the top of the draft that are 1 and 2, you can offer them everything in Jimmy Haslam's bank account in addition to the draft picks, and they still won't say yes. Yeah. You know, because that is the name of the game, is taking a quarterback. So you are then putting your whole entire fate into other people's hands.
Well, and beyond just the quarterback conversation, all we keep hearing about is how this is a weak draft class in general. I mean, you guys have Albert Breer once a week, and I know he's made the comment that, like, once you get past Carter, Hunter and Cam Ward, prospects like 4 through 40 are all graded in the same sort of realm where they're not like so far off of each other. So like that kind of tells you that like there might not be a lot of appetite for teams to like trade up unless they really, really, really want Travis Hunter. But if they feel like they're going to get a pretty good player where they're at, then okay, that's just kind of what it is. So yeah, and here's the other thing too on Shador, like, as we've compared and contrasted these two quarterbacks, mm-hmm. I understand you can't just take a quarterback because of like personality type and like the fact that he's very poised and he has like a good head on his shoulders and he seems like he's kind of like ready mentally for this stage. But to me, when I think about like these quarterbacks and who's the most pro ready, I do think Cam Ward is pro ready in his own right because of the skill sets that the skill set that he has and the traits that he has. But I think Shador, from like the mental capacity of trying to understand the game and like learn as he goes, I don't think there's anybody more ready from a mental standpoint for starting the NFL tomorrow, if the season started tomorrow, than Shador Sanders. Because he grew up in it, right, with his dad.
When Nick and I aren't together, we really are missing the yin and the yang here, are we not? Like, this is now, so Spencer's a Shador guy, I'm a Shador guy. I'm out next week, I'm going to Orlando. We'll talk more about that in about 10 minutes or so. Nick and Daryl, for instance, is like the complete anti-whatever we just did right here.
It's the antithesis of JP.
It just feels like you guys are trying to build on top of each other.
I
love Shador more. No, I love Shador more.
We've taken how many pro Shador phone calls today?
If it's an argument of who loves him more, JP wins. He bought a jersey with his name on it, so JP wins.
Jake made the case that callers just feel like they have a safe space for me today with Nick out, that they can express their Shador love, and they are doing so, by the way. A lot of phone calls today expressing their Shador love. It's a very different dynamic for afternoon drive today.
And you know, it's a beautiful day outside. Things just, you know, it's a lot brighter around here when it's not Nick Wilson.
When was the moment you fell in love with Shador Sanders, Spencer? Let me tell you my favorite Shador Sanders. I mean, it's fun, but it's also there is a part of me that sits here and is like, yeah, Nick would not let that one fly. But I do. I wonder, because I know we're not alone here in making the suggestion that what happened today with Flacco, not only does it not take you out of the idea of taking a quarterback at number 2 or even 33 or trading back into the first round, I think it strengthens it.
Yeah.
And that was what made the initial reaction to it all so befuddling to me. And the idea that everyone let a potentially $4 million guaranteed 1-year deal stand in the way. No organization lets that stand in the way of a decision like taking a quarterback at number 2 or not.
No, it doesn't feel that way at all. This is a prove-it sort of thing for Joe Flacco, somebody who knows the offense they want to run, provides stability. I don't know if it's just because, JP, like, everyone's getting caught up in the in the Joe, like the Flacco fever that we obviously had when he was here. And it's like, whoa, this look what this guy did in that five-game sample size.
I think that's part of it. I do think people love to just love Joe Flacco.
Yeah, and they're like, everything's going to be rainbows and butterflies like it was 2 years ago.
But let's be honest about it. I think the other part of it is I think Shador Sanders has made a lot of Browns fans mad. True. I think the thought of Shador Sanders has made a lot of Browns fans mad. And I think every Browns fan that doesn't like Shador Sanders wants to dance on his grave. And so what today was, it was a preemptive dancing on his grave. And turns out the joke's on all of you guys dancing on his grave because he's not dead. And the thought process isn't dead and buried either. So you might have to recalibrate.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't know what this changed in the grand scheme of like what we thought this quarterback room was going to look like.
All it did was take Kirk Cousins out of the equation.
That's it. I've been saying from the beginning, JP, that the quarterback room for the Browns was always going to consist of three different sort of buckets of players. It was going to have a reclamation project, somebody who is trying to revive their career in some way. And there was different options for that. Daniel Jones came up. So, you know, Sam Darnold kind of continuing that reclamation project came up. Those guys ended up being too expensive. But, like, there were some options out there of guys that could be reclamation projects. As it turned out, they went with Kenny Pickett. So that checked that box. He's the reclamation project. We knew they wanted a veteran. There was names that came up. They hosted Russell Wilson on a visit. Obviously, Flacco was in play, as Jimmy Haslam made clear last week. And then that came to fruition. They brought up Carson Wentz. Kirk Cousins was part of that conversation. Now, the Kirk Cousins one was, if you're bringing him in, he's probably going to start for you. So that was the biggest difference there. But now he's out of the equation because Flacco's here. So that checks the box of a veteran. And then the last one was always going to be a rookie. And so it's just about a matter of like which rookie it is. But this didn't change anything for me in terms of like how I thought the room was going to be set up. It's just a matter of like, do you take a rookie that's ready to start sooner rather than later? And so that's what it's going to come down to in a couple weeks here when they go to the draft and if they decide to take Shador or they wait and they take somebody like Jalen Milroe.
216-474-0092. We'll get into another angle on this and whether or not this is the Browns admitting another wrong. We do want you guys involved, though. David and Lakewood up next. What's up, David?
Hey, you know, I'm not a Shador fan. And when you buy Shador Sanders, you're also buying Deion, which is, oh, dear God, how many layers of disaster do you want to buy?
On the flip side, David, sorry to interrupt you, but if everybody gets fired after this season, that could mean that Deion Sanders comes to Cleveland as your coach. How you feel about that?
I don't think David likes
that. I'm going to pass on the guy with the glasses.
Had a lot of good juju, though.
No, well, okay. It's fine. You can go on social media. He can go on social media. You can have a team on social media, terrific. I'm more concerned about wins and losses rather than the great, wonderful things they say about each other.
216-474-0092.
Because he let one
we
slip.
We both got it. We need a little bit of time to get back from that, though.
All right, we're gonna take a quick 10-second timeout here and reset. As this is the second time. You see, Nick leaves for one day, and this is the second time people just try to slip one by the FCC goalie, which will not happen. That's what Mac's responsible for. It will not happen. All right. But the point is I do think there is an element of people that were so excited and just champing at the bit, whatever you want to say, to basically say, ding dong, the Shador draft is dead. And it just isn't. And if anything, when you take a second and stop and think about it, this only would make it more of a case for Shador instead of less of a case.
Well, and like I said, I get reliving the five games of Flacco and how magical that was and feeling like, oh, if he's out there doing that, like, why would anybody else be starting a quarterback? But we got to remember here, we're coming up on 2 years removed from that. And he's 2 years older.
He's only gotten
40.
Older.
Like, he had moments with the Colts last year, but it's not like he was lighting it up for them all the time. There's not even a chance he makes it through he might not even make it through a 17-game season. We got to keep these things in mind. And so to your point again, that's why it feels like it's even more likely they take a quarterback that's more suited to start quicker than not in the draft potentially.
All right, 216-474-0092. Is this the Browns admitting another wrong? We'll get back to your phone calls. And also, I got out of something, and I'm happy about it. I'll explain what that is. It's Jonathan Pito and Spencer German Afternoon Drive with you guys right here on The Fan.